गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारे यमुना तीरावन चारे जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट 13 टेक्स्ट 27 सुखम अस्यात्मनो रूपम् सर्वे हो परतिस्तनो मनस्संस्पर्शजान् दृष्ट्वा भोगान् स्वप्स्यामि संविशान् सुखम् अस्यात्मनो रूपम् सर्वे हो परतिस्तनो मनस्संस्पर्शजान् दृष्ट्वा भोगान् स्वप्स्यामि संविशन् सुखम् अस्यात्मनो रूपम् सर्वे हो परतिस्तनो मनस्संस्पर्शजान् दृष्ट्वा भोगान् स्वप्स्यामि संविशन् सुखम् अस्यात्मनो रूपम् please, please. Sukham, happiness, asya of him, atmanah of the living entity, rupam, the natural position, sarva, all, iha, material activities, uparatihi, completely stopping, tanuhu, the medium of its manifestation. Manah samsparashajan, produced from demands for sense gratification. Drushtva, after seeing. Bhogan, sense enjoyment. Swapsyami, I am sitting silently, thinking deeply about these material activities. Samvishan, entering into such activities. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The actual form of life for the living entities is one of spiritual happiness, which is real happiness. This happiness can be achieved only when one stops all materialistic activities. Material sense enjoyment is simply imagination. Therefore, considering this subject matter, I have ceased from all material activities and I am lying down here. Purport. The difference between the philosophy of the Mayavadis and that of the Vaishnavas is explained herein. Both the Mayavadis and the Vaishnavas know that in materialistic activities there is no happiness. The Mayavadi philosophers, therefore, adhering to the slogan Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, want to refrain from false materialistic activities. They want to stop all activities and merge into the Supreme Brahman. According to the Vaishnava philosophy, however, if one simply ceases from materialistic activity, one cannot remain inactive for very long. And therefore, everyone should engage himself in spiritual activities, which will solve the problem of suffering in this material world. It is said, therefore, that although the Mayavadi philosophers strive to refrain from materialistic activities and merge in Brahman, and although they may actually merge in the Brahman existence, for want of activity, they will fall down again into materialistic activity. Aruhya krutrena param padam tatha padanti adaha. Thus, the so-called renouncer, unable to remain in meditation upon Brahman, returns to materialistic activities by opening hospitals and schools and so on. Therefore, simply cultivating knowledge that materialistic activities cannot give one happiness and that one should consequently cease from such activities is insufficient. One should cease from materialistic activities and take up spiritual activities. Then the solution to the problem will be achieved. Spiritual activities are activities performed according to the order of Krishna. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. If one ever wants, If one does whatever Krishna says, his activities are not material. For example, when Arjuna fought in response to the order of Krishna, his activities were not material. Fighting for sense gratification is a materialistic activity, but fighting by the order of Krishna is spiritual. By spiritual activities, one becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead, and then enjoy blissful life eternally. Here in the material world, everything is but a mental concoction that will never give us real happiness. The practical solution, therefore, is to cease from materialistic activities and engage in spiritual activities. Yajnarthat karmano anyatra loko ayam karma bandhanaha. If one works for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Lord Yajna or Vishnu, one is in liberated life. If one fails to do so, however, he remains in a life of bondage. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, I want to wish all of you a very, very happy and realization-filled Lord Nityananda appearance day. I'm going to keep this short because I've come to understand that I've been given this unique honor of punishing you three times during the weekend. It just so happened that someone else was requested to do Lord Nityananda's festival lecture. Unfortunately, they cannot do it. So I got roped into it. And because someone was going to do Lord Nityananda festival and Sunday, there won't be any crowd. Any guest speaker might not feel very inspired necessarily. Like, oh, no one was there. I took on the Sunday lecture. And now it just happens that today, this morning, tonight, and tomorrow, you'll get chance to remember Lord Nityananda very much, very dearly, because as I punish you, you can call out to Lord Nityananda. So from my side, I'll try to minimize the punishment as much as I can. So for some of us, I've been missing Bhagavatam classes, so I feel very, like a lost traveler. But the pastime that is going on right now is one day, Prahlad Maharaj, with some of his associates, he took on a project. And the project was to study the behaviors, of course, naturally, not only behavior, but also the character of saintly persons. What a fantastic project. Because this project will not finish. The character of a saintly person is vast, deep, profound, and enigmatic. And so a person like Prahlad Maharaj to take up a project like this means his time and energy was dedicated to glorifying saintly people. Because saintly people remind us of only one I shouldn't say thing, but one person, Krishna. That's all they're about. Other people remind us of other things. A sports personality reminds us of games. A movie star reminds us of movies. A singer reminds us of some songs. All of that, saintly persons remind us of Krishna and service to Krishna. So when Prahlad Maharaj went to a particular place called It's in the southwest of India, where the river Kaveri, actually Kaveri flows this way, I think, or actually this way, sorry, from west to east. And where Kaveri starts is where the Sahyadri Mountains are there. They are shorter than the Himalayas. They make the western ghats. So along the mountains of Sahya, where the river Kaveri was there, they met a particular personality who was just, they found him lying down. And his body was covered with dirt. Now that's the rare saintly personality you find somewhere, right? So Prahlad Maharaj and his associates, they discovered and they understood this is not an ordinary person. So they asked him, can you please tell us why you're like this? So he said, I'm taking lessons of life from the python. Now, pythons are generally considered lazy animals. They just sit there or lie there. However, I don't know if, how a snake sits, but it always lies down. So the snake was is such that, and especially python, all other snakes, at least they have some speed, they move. Especially rattlesnake or the cobra, they slither and they move very, very fast. A python doesn't move fast, it just sits, lies there. And when some animal comes close by, opens his mouth wide and swallows that animal and takes half hour, 1 hour to completely swallow a deer or a hog or whatever that animal is. It can stretch its mouth so big and cover it and slowly, I guess, draw him in. And then it sits there with a lump showing inside his body and then slowly digests the animal. That's all he does. He doesn't do anything. After eating like that, cannot move. So python generally is considered lazy. However, in this particular context, the lesson the sadhu is taking is not of laziness, but something more profound. Something more profound is that one doesn't have to work very hard to get something to eat. And the python is such, it just lies there and food comes to it. So the principle that the sadhu was living by was, for my maintenance and for the maintenance of all living entities, Krishna is supplying sufficient food. Most people work very hard for getting some food. And Prabhupada would often joke and chide, is that necessary? And he would give the example of an ass. That the ass is an animal of a beast of burden, carries so much amount of weight on his back, and goes from the home to the river bank, where the master will washerman, generally an ass is the pet of a washerman, he'll wash all the clothes and put the clothes back on the ass. And you know, cotton cloth is heavier when it's wet than when it is dry. And so when he loads the ass with all this cloth, the ass goes, and then walks back home. After such hard work, the master will give him little grass and he will happily chew on it and think, ah, this is life. And Prabhupada would joke that while he is walking from home to the riverbank and back, there is ample grass everywhere. But the donkey cannot understand that I don't need to work for this guy to get a little grass. It's there. It's available. I can live freely than be a bonded laborer for this washerman. Because he thinks, if I don't have this washerman, I don't have anything to eat. So Prabhupada would sort of criticize, but in a humorous way, that most human population is like that, working hard to get some little bit of food. So the saintly person is along the mountain ranges, living like a python, saying, I'm dependent on Krishna. Whatever I need for eating will come to me. And he's not picked the city where there is so much activity, but he picked the mountains. One, because when his austerity becomes public, becomes public, he will get a lot of appreciation. And a saint is characterized by, I won't say aversion, but shyness from appreciation. They don't want the attention to come to them. And they try very hard, and then it becomes such a character trait that it's not something that they're running after. Any appreciation or acknowledgement or standing out in the crowd. Just their character is enough to stand out in the crowd. But it's not like they're trying. So that's why he's up in the mountains where no one can see him. Somehow, Prahlad Maharaj found out in his search for saintly persons. And so he asked him, why are you like this? And so the previous verses are his exposition on what lessons he's learnt from a python. In today's verse, he gives a very profound expression of his realization. And his realization is this, that actually all living entities are made for experiencing spiritual happiness. And the pursuit of material happiness is an activity of ignorance, where they don't understand that they're trying very hard to become happy, but the methods that they are applying are all wrong. So the methods that common people apply is materialistic activity. You know, constantly have to be busy with materialistic activity for entertainment, for engagement, for physically working out certain things. All of these, this is for that sense of happiness and enjoyment. And the saint is saying that all of that is wrong. In fact, by stopping all these materialistic activities, a person actually becomes happier. And furthermore, he says material sense enjoyment is simply imagination. Wow. And so he uses the word manah samsparashajan. We hear in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna saying so many times, matra sparashastu kaunteya, or yehi samsparashaja bhoga. That's a verse in the 5th chapter. And Krishna very critically says, what's the consequence of samsparashaja bhoga? Enjoyment coming from material contact. What is the consequence? Dukkha yonaya evate. That which is supposed to give happiness gives extreme misery. Dukkha yoni. It's the womb or the source of distress. Adi antavanta kaunteya. It has a beginning and it has an end. Nateshu ramate buddha. The one who is intelligent will not take pleasure in such activities. And he leaves it there for us to decide, or for anyone to decide, whether one is intelligent or not. And so, because Krishna has spoken these words, then a devotee has to have realizations of these words. Right? We read Bhagavad Gita, so we get those realizations and we get a confirmation. Yeah, that's true, that's true. Wherever in our Bhagavad Gita study, each one of us has some realization of Bhagavad Gita where we say, yeah, that's true. Right? I'm sure each one of us has some verse or verses or chapter somewhere where we know and we can tell others that, yeah, this is true. What Krishna says is true. This personality has understood it to such a degree that he's living his life like that, fully. Beyond words, beyond the, yeah, that's true, to this is how to live. So it's said that when the words of Krishna or a Vaishnava, a spiritual master, we accept genuinely, then first thing that manifests is that we live like that. We live like that. To manifest our understanding of those words. Well, we all have heard from Prabhupada so many times, Trinadapi Suni Chena. We try to live like that. It's not just, it's nice discussion, very good, and we walk away. We try to live like that. So this personality is appreciating how cessation of materialist activities actually gives him happiness. And something far beyond that is engaging in spiritual activities. So Prabhupada in the purport says it about 6 times, the difference between Mayavadi understanding and the devotee's understanding. Mayavadi's understanding is there is a lot of trouble in material activities, so just stop it. Just stop every activity. And that's it. You'll be very happy. And the devotee's perspective is, yeah, but a living entity is meant for activity, right? In third chapter, Krishna says, you cannot sit without activity even for a moment, Arjuna. Living being means active. Matter means dead, inactive. It's only a living person who's active. Dead people are not active. Right? Only when dead people become active, we wonder what's going on. It's like, oh, that's a ghost. But Prabhupada says, activity means life. Inactivity means death. So Mayavada understanding of just stopping all materialistic activities, aham brahmasmi, is only half the solution. And the verse Prabhupada quotes is of Narada Muni, that once that half they have, after that the state is unstable, because you have to have some activities. The Mayavadi will go and do something that looks spiritual but is completely material in nature. Opening a hospital, running a school, giving commentary on political situations, etc. That's it. And they think that that is service to humanity. They consider that as spiritual activity. A couple of days ago, someone sent me a video of A. Shankaracharya, because there are 4 main pithas or mathas that Shankaracharya established more than them. But there are 4 main centers. In south it's called Sringeri, in the north it's called something, I forget. So there's a particular Shankaracharya who came on TV criticizing Prabhupada's movement. And the criticism was, ISKCON is all about conversion, the converting people into Hare Krishnas. And the whole idea is to take money and send it to America. And my point was, if that were true, we'd be in a different condition. This is not true. But the point was, why would a Shankaracharya, for whom material activities don't have any value, get onto all these kind of propaganda in the first place? What is the purpose? Or start some hospital this and that. And they're all nice humanitarian activities, no doubt, but they're not spiritual. I once had an argument with my father. There is one so-called saint lady who's the hugging saint. She's called the hugging saint. She hugs everyone. And when she hugs everyone, suddenly they have a transformation. They feel very blissful. It just means people are in need of a hug, man. Anyone can give a hug and feel happy. But anyway, she's a special saint. And whenever she hugs everyone, they feel very happy. So I had an argument with my father, because in my father's living room was the picture of this lady right next to Brother Rasbihari or Balaji. And I was like, I was cringing. So I asked him, what is the speciality about this lady? Oh, she's a saint. I'm like, can you tell me why she's a saint? Well, she gives a hug to everyone. She doesn't discriminate at all. I said, okay, does that make a person a saint? No, no, she's done so many wonderful activities for people. She runs hospitals. She gives free medicines for all senior citizens, etc. I said, fantastic. How is that spiritual? So my father took objection. What? What is the problem being that way? I said, I'm not saying he's a bad person. A very great person, no doubt. To give money for helping others is not easy. So she's giving a lot of money. Great. She's a great social worker, no doubt about it. Why is she spiritual? So finally, my father like, you're just being silly. That I was being adamant about something. I said, oh, okay, but I still fail to see why she is spiritual. Why? If you want to help others, is that not spiritual? I said, that's not a spiritual activity. Helping others becomes a spiritual activity only when that help is in relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, it's not spiritual activity. It is a very nice activity. It is a mode of goodness action, but it is not spiritual. My spiritual master calls it a high-grade goodness activity that looks spiritual or looks like spiritual activity, but it is not. And for the one very reason that it has nothing to do with Krishna, nullifies it from any semblance of being spiritual. So this personality, Prahlad Maharaj is hearing from him. And he's saying, so I figured out that in material activities, there is no happiness. We are only made for spiritual activities and spiritual happiness. So I'm lying down here, not doing any materialistic activity, simply relishing. Simply relishing spiritual happiness. Now, none of us can do that. At least I cannot do that. It doesn't make sense. Because that realization is not there. So then Prabhupada writes, if one does whatever Krishna says, and what Krishna says, we hear from what Prabhupada says. Prabhupada asked us to serve, to attend the programs, do some service, etc., etc. That is our spiritual activity. For this personality, he has surpassed that stage and come to a stage where he can fully remember Krishna by lying down in dirt all day. Wow. That's something fascinating. Because a person who's conditioned to material activities, the only time that they will lie down in dirt is when they're totally in ignorance. So the point here Prahlad Maharaj is extracting from this personality is how he has learned from a python. Not that I want to be like a python, but the principle that Krishna is maintaining me. So we are asked to go out every day. We don't have to go out, wherever we are. When different circumstances manifest in our life, conversations, certain pictures of things, whatever is the scenario that's going on in the world, whatever, we are supposed to extract from that some lessons that confirm what the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam say. That is the mandate for us as students. whatever is the situation, that we are constantly extracting lessons from it. And one who stops learning or doesn't care for that learning misses out on great opportunities. So tomorrow's Sunday, I'm going to give you a preview of it. Tomorrow's Sunday feast lecture is titled The Stork, Rooster and Salt Story. It's a story we've heard from Ramanujacharya's life. Actually, it is Anantacharya's life in Tirupati. You want a preview of it? Then you don't have to come tomorrow. That's nice. So there was once Ramanujacharya, they were discussing about a devotee, who a devotee is. And someone asked Ramanujacharya, I'd like to know the glories of a devotee. Tomorrow there'll be a lot more details, but I'm just giving you a sneak preview. So Ramanujacharya told him, go to Tirupati, and there's Ananta Acharya there serving Lord Balaji. You ask him this question, he will answer it for you. So this person goes and he says, I've been asked to come by Sri Ramanujacharya to ask you this question. Ananta Acharya said, I don't have time for all that. I'm very busy. Can you not see there's a big festival going on? Ask me later. And he told him, since you're anyway here, do some service. All right. What service? Serve everyone prasadam. Okay. So it's not the buffet style serving with, you know, sneeze guards and you just stand there and slop something. But Vedic style serving is you carry this heavy bucket and you bend and then serve, because they used to eat on leaves and they used to sit on the floor. So you have to bend quite a bit and it's back breaking, no doubt. So there were hundreds of devotees and he served everyone. Then they said, all right, all the guests have been fed. Now those who were serving can sit down and eat. All right. So they all sat down. This devotee also sat down. Then one of the Prabhus came and said, serve all the servers. Don't sit. Come, serve. So he got up and he served all of them also. And when he sat down to eat, again they said something and did not allow him to eat. Told him, eat later or something. We know today's festival, fasting, to be in the line to serve is one of the most difficult services. The sense of happiness is when you make your plate and keep it aside, then you feel like, at least I have something. Otherwise, when I look at all the preps, by the time I serve everyone and they will ask, you want more? Yes, some more. Oh, there won't be anything for me. That's not serving. Don't make a plate for yourself. If it's there, great. If it's not there, hey. But anyway, so this devotee was constantly pushed to the limit. But he did not complain. He served and served and served and served. And finally, when he asked this question, Anantacharya said, I don't have time now. I'll talk to you later. I'm busy, busy. So after all the festivities were done, this was done, that was done, finally he said, oh, who are you? He said, I was sent by Ramanujacharya to ask you this question. Okay, what's your question? So he's been waiting for months. Months have transpired. So finally he gets to ask his question for which he's come so far. Can you please tell me the character of a devotee? And Anantacharya looked at him and said, oh, devotee is like a stork, rooster, salt, and like you. Turned around and went away. And that was the answer. This devotee is like, whoa, I didn't understand what the answer is. No explanation, no purport, didn't spend time with me, didn't even say, but he didn't complain. He said, that's the answer. I don't know what it means. So he returned all the way back from Tirupati to Sri Rangam to meet Ramanujacharya. And Ramanuja said, oh, you're back after so many months. Did you ask your question? He said, yeah, I asked, but I didn't understand what he said. So what was the answer? He said, the devotee is like a stork, a rooster, salt, and you. So Ramanujacharya smiled and said, I'll explain. And he gave, so it is related to this purport. He says, it's like a stork. Have you seen a stork standing in water? Stands on one leg. And his eyes are fixed in the water. He's looking. He's looking for fish. And when the stork stands still on one leg, there are no ripples in the water, and he stands like a statue. Because if there's movement, fish won't come. So he stands patiently and is looking, and he allows many fish to pass. Why? Because he's waiting for that big one. He's not going to pick any small fish. Because once he puts his beak in the water, all the other fish are going to scatter. So he's an opportunist. He waits for the big one to come. So he lets the small ones go. So Ramanujacharya explained that a devotee is like that. He's not into the small fish. What is the small fish? Money, house, security, whatever. Things of this world in terms of name and fame. And Prabhupada uses the phrase society, friendship and love. Like, it's not the material things. He's waiting for that big fish. The opportunity for service to Krishna or opportunity to meet the devotees. That's the big catch in life. If you go for the small catch, you miss the big one. So he's waiting. He's an opportunist. As soon as the opportunity for associating with devotees comes, he takes it. And he lets other things go. So that's the stork. Then the rooster. He says the rooster is constantly pecking. He pecks in a pile of garbage. But does he pick up any garbage? A rooster never picks up garbage. He only picks up grain or worm or whatever he has to eat. It's not like peck, 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 peck. Oops, sorry, I picked a little piece of plastic paper or something useless. Oh, it's a waste. No. So he said he's busy, but he always picks out from garbage the grain. That's the essence. So a devotee is like, he's busy in this world, but he's always taking lessons and he's always taking the real essence from it. This is not like engaging in all sorts of garbage work. He's picking, constantly picking stuff that is valuable. That is lessons from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. As we go out, we meet people, they say something to us, we say something to them. We would have liked to have said something that we missed saying, or something. And those are lessons. They're all packed lessons. That's the rooster. And he says, like salt. And Ramanujacharya explained that salt makes food tasty. Without salt, you can have the best of vegetables, but there's no taste, except if you're in Jagannath Puri. They cook without salt. Everywhere else, you have to have salt. If there's no salt, you don't relish the taste of that particular preparation. But you never see the salt. So Ramanujacharya explained that the devotee is such that he gives life to wherever he is, but no one notices him. Or he always goes unnoticed. He tries his best and is expert at being unnoticed. That he allows all the glory and allows all the appreciation to go to others, not to him. Because when we eat the preparation, we'll say, the potatoes are very nice today. The broccoli is very nice. The life has come because of salt. So he's always serving others and lets the appreciation come to them. He's like salt. He says, like you, because to learn these lessons, you were not in a rush. You were patient. You didn't get irritated. You didn't get angry. They made you serve. They tested you constantly. This was a test. Oh, serve prasadam. Don't sit down. Serve more. Don't do this. Constantly kept him to see where his limits are, but he didn't break. So Ramanuja said, he's saying he's like you. That to get from a devotee the truths of life, it doesn't matter how much one is pushed, one is eager to get that. He could have said, what is this? One question, you can't answer. I've come from so far away. Ramanujacharya sent me. I'm such an important guy. You don't want to answer? No problem. I'll find it somewhere else. No. He was there because that was important for him to learn. So like this, here, this personality is saying, Mana samsparshajan drishtva bhogan I saw that all this bhoga, enjoyment, that is coming from mana samsparshaja, mentally concocted, I am happy, that would be nice, it's all coming from the mind. He said, swapsyami. Swapsyami. He said, I'm just sitting here silently, thinking deeply about these things. Material energy keeps a person so busy that it does not allow the human being to think about these things. Why? Because if they think, they will stop it. They will stop those activities. So material energy keeps the person busy, busy, busy. No time to think at all about, is this life? Yeah, keep them busy. And throw at them, you know, life is great, fantastic. Do like them, eat like this, live like that, sing like this, dress like that, do this, watch this, do that. Kids. Because if they get a moment, opportunity to consider, then they will drop it. Because the human being is such, he's thoughtful. Especially if they meet a devotee, then they will be even more thoughtful. Material energy doesn't give such a chance. So this person is sitting silently. Swapsyami is a samvishan. Samvishan is, I figured out that entering into these activities is not worth it. So I'm cut out from it. I don't engage, I don't delve into things that will make me forget Krishna. So Prabhupada tells us, Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. That the right activity is the order of Krishna. Whatever is the Krishna's order. In Arjuna's case, he told him, go fight a war. So that was the spiritual activity. In our case, we're told, stop the war. That's our spiritual activity. Because Kali Yuga means people are warring with each other, fighting or quarreling. So any comments, questions? I thought I'll keep it short, didn't happen.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhupada draws the distinction of the Vaishnava and impersonalists in the purport. Yeah. And the main point that he highlighted is that the Vaishnava acts, but spiritually is a spiritual activity, and the Mayavadi renounce material activity, but the Mayavadi doesn't act, wants to stop acting altogether. The Vaishnava acts for the pleasure of Krishna, and in the case of the sage. He, although in previous verses he expressed when he appreciated Prahlad Maharaj, he obviously has Krishna consciousness, because he said to Prahlad Maharaj that Narayan is in your heart, and he takes away all the ignorance. So he's not an impersonalist, he has a personal conception. But right now, his example is that he stops work. He just sits there. No, he's not, you know, necessarily showing a spiritual activity, or at least externally. I mean, obviously, they have to be more than that, you know, it doesn't meet the eye. Then. But you have sages at this time, like Narada Muni and, you know, other sages that are very busy enlightening people. But this sage is giving an example of, you know, you just depend on Krishna. You sit there and that's it. No activity. So can you explain a little bit about that position?
In this case, I was thinking of other great personalities like Dhruva Maharaj or Valmiki Rishi. He just sat there with his eyes closed, thinking about Lord Ram. So much so that he was actually reciting the word Mara backward, Rama backwards, because he was so dull. He sat there and just recited Mara, 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 and got so absorbed in that his body was being eaten away by ants, and he didn't budge from there. Later, his whole body was covered with ants and became an anthill. That's the meaning of the word Valmiki. Valmika means anthill, and Valmiki means coming from the anthill. So physically the activity had stopped, but spiritually activity was going on. The case of the Mayavadis, Prabhupada's distinguishing that from the devotee is that in terms of Mayavadis, when they stop materialistic activities, they believe that they are Brahman. And whatever activity they do from then on, they are under the belief that that is Brahman activity, when it is not. That is the verse that he says, Aruhya Krutrena. Aruhya Krutrena is having achieved that and thinking, I am liberated. Param padam tatha patanti. Then they fall from there. Falling means it's not like they're doing mundane, breaking regulative principle like fall, but the fall is they're still acting on the material platform. So in this case, he being there and thinking about these things, and I'm sure there's meditation on Lord Vishnu, otherwise he can't sustain it. But particularly the meditation is at least that I am not this body, and then there is Vishnu. That's why Prahlad Maharaj has gone to him, is that there is something, there's spiritual activity, not on the necessarily on the physical plane. On the consciousness plane is what the activity is about. So the consciousness drives matter. So there are two, and that's the distinction, that for a Vaishnava, the consciousness, even if he's sitting quietly, he's still serving than a Mayavadi who may be working and he's not serving. When there was this whole idea of going to the moon, and it was July 1969, Prabhupada was sitting in front of the TV with some of his disciples, and they were showing the moon landing. And Prabhupada was vehement. They have not landed on the moon. Well, there was a lot of debate about it. And Prabhupada laughingly, on that night, Mother Malati, she had made khichdi. And so Prabhupada laughingly said, they have done so much activity that is useless. Malati has done more service by making a bowl of khichdi than they have done by going to the moon. He completely dismissed all of that endeavor, scientific endeavor, as useless. What she has done, made some khichdi, is more valuable. Because one is for Krishna, the other is, all this fashion and all this for what? So it's that level of consciousness. It's not just the activity on the physical plane. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after a point, gave up his being a magistrate and sat in one room and chanted. So there was no activity per se, but was great spiritual activity. Mayavadis don't even do that. They just sit there, soham, soham. That's the distinction, I feel.
Thank you for the nice explanation. So what I understand is that Mayavadi, when they come to the Jnana platform, they don't cease the activity, but they come to humanitarianism or something like opening the
Yeah, they
hospitals.
cannot seize activity.
So they cannot cease. So in one sense, it is a fall down. But you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if they are not taking a shelter of the transcendental sound vibration, is a soham is a transcendental sound vibration?
Their transcendental sound vibration is om.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's as powerful as Hare Krishna mantra?
Well, om is, it is Krishna in his impersonal feature.
So means
we also chant 3 times a day, yeah. Om, and then the Gayatri mantra. Om is Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava, Vedeshu, right? Krishna says in the Vedas, the Pranava, Om, I am that. But it's the impersonal feature of Krishna. So Prabhupada gives the example of when we look at clean streets, orderly traffic, nice employment, you know, high employment percentage, people are generally happy, then they have a sense that the government is working. They're happy with the government. Right?
Yeah.
But they don't know who the main person is. They're happy with the government. Things are going well. Very great. But they don't know where the president of the United States, on a personal level, you know, slapping his back. Hey, what's up? Nothing. Happy with the government. That's like Brahman. Happy. Ananda. Brahmananda. Everything is okay. I'm not this body.
So you use the word high grade of goodness.
High activity. Grade, yeah. High grade goodness.
So, but in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that all the paths are ultimately coming towards him. They're following the different rites of Veda. They're not going totally to Krishna, but indirectly, somehow they're going to Krishna. So they're not doing totally wrong thing.
All paths lead towards him. Does not mean that all paths reach him. One is directional. I want to go to New York. Someone can tell me it's east from here. Yeah. So I can head east. Someone can say, get onto I-80. Someone can say, in New York, this is the address that you have to get to. All are heading in the same direction. It's not necessarily that everyone gets to that particular address.
At some point in the life, after many, many years?
Unless Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Unless that is the understanding, Jnanavan does not reach. Jnana facilitates it, but without touch of Bhakta, it's not possible. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was having under him thousands of sannyasis. But until he met Lord Chaitanya, that change didn't come. He knew, and then everything makes sense. Until then, it's there. But putting it all together has to happen by the contact of a devotee. Why it's important to know we are not this body? Why it is important to not do materialistic activities? Why it is important to cultivate oneself with knowledge, why the Vedas are there, why these varieties, all this one may know even before they meet a devotee. But only when there's a devotee, then everything falls in line and in perspective.
So in Vedas, when they say that the animal killers are allowed to kill the animal in particular day and particular time, and Krishna said that by that also they will reach me some.
So let's say the Vedas said no killing of any animal at all. People will still do it. And if they do it, then they are violating the Vedas. Then they will never get uplifted. So the Vedas have concessions. Because by that, following that method, now they've taken... They become submissive to the Vedic understanding, so they'll become uplifted.
That means they have got some Sukruti in their spiritual account.
Well, not necessarily spiritual account. There is Sukruti. Definitely there is upliftment. Going to the heavenly planets is in the direction of Vaikuntha, you could say, but it's not necessarily Vaikuntha. It's directional.
Thank you. I just want to make one comment. Can I?
Yeah, sure.
You're talking about the Shankaracharya, and I was in front of the tea. I was in India, my parents, and my parents see these ISKCON people. See, they're initiated devotees. See these ISKCON people. You are so much involved in this thing. See, they're doing. And temple president of Ahmedabad temple was, he was giving the lecture. And I was so disturbed, and I was really in a great argument with my parents at that time. And then I thought, why is doing this Sankaracharya? And I thought that, oh, that is his business. He wants to keep everyone an illusion. So he's doing his work.
Yeah, that's a nice way. I don't know if this Shankaracharya particularly, but the Adi Shankaracharya definitely. But I don't know about this Shankaracharya. It was a nice moment of being on TV for him, is all I thought about it. Yes, Mataji. Krishna Archana Mataji.
Nityananda Prabhu, I just want to check something. No, it's more the Mayavadi question. So the Mayavadi impersonal conception of Brahman has a great deal to do with ceasing external engagement. So the there's also some attempt to cease engagement internally on the mental plane, I think. So if, you know, it's the understanding is, as Srila Prabhupada was explaining, that it's extremely difficult to maintain that state of being inactive or having ceased all material engagement. So the particular person who's holding that impersonal conception is driven to actually break with the concept that they're holding. Because if the concept that is being held is one needs to cease material activity, but then that same person is impelled to perform material activity, the opening of a hospital or some philanthropic work. How is it possible to reconcile that taking up of activity with the concept that's held, that Brahman means some sort of nothingness or ceasing of activity? So how is it possible to even then be able to actually take the philanthropic work and relate it to the concept that was held initially?
Yeah. And that is the thing that cannot be reconciled easily. There are two reasons why anyone's body or mind are active. The first reason is the person has bodily identification. I am this body or I am the mind, whatever is that identification that brings out activity. The other reason body and mind are active is when a person knows I am a servant of Krishna. These are the only two reasons why a body is active. Now, in these two distinctions, the Mayavad idea fits right in between. The right in between is, I am not this body. So as the current goes in a particular direction, the Mayavad is to resist it and come to a state of neutrality. In neutrality, you're not going in any direction. You're only against the force of material energy. Now, how long can one maintain that? And what does maintaining that mean? Prabhupada uses the example of a person going to a doctor and saying to the doctor, I have 105 fever. And the doctor says, yeah, I know how to make your body cold. I'll cut off your head. The body is cold, no temperature at all. And Prabhupada's argument is, no, there should be temperature. It should be 98.6 degrees and not 105. It's not like you make the person cold. Zero is not the answer. So Mayavad's conception is Aham Brahmasmi, is I am not this body, I am awareness. That's all it is. I am awareness. They cannot define Atma also. What is Atma? I am that. What is that? I am awareness. Sat, Chit, Ananda. Okay. Now, with that consciousness, what do you do? So their idea is, I have the Gyan, I have to give others that Gyan, that knowledge. Now, others may not understand that knowledge directly, so they will understand it through philanthropic work. Because philanthropic work, people understand as godly or divine. So that's their sense of activity. They will not get into this and that, but they will do divine work. But the problem with divine work is that it is not necessarily divine. It is understood or it is interpreted as divine. Helping others is great, but it's not divine in the sense how we learned from Prabhupada that saving the coat is not saving the man, the drowning man. So if they see that as divine work. And the reason they can't reconcile with the Vaishnavas or the Vaishnava understanding is because Prabhupada calls it in the Bhagavad Gita, there's a phrase, the last snare of Maya. And that last snare is thinking, I am God. And what does God do? He helps others. I'm helping others. Because that's godly work. Someone is suffering, oh, some hospital for them. Someone is this one, something for them. Look at all the poor orphan children, whatever, look at this, look at that, women's issues, this issue, that issue. Politics should be nice so that people are happy, the country should be run properly, so they have comments about political situations, because it's godly work. That's the snare of Maya. That which is not seems that which is. That's the unfortunate Mayavad stance. Okay, thank you very much. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.